Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Claude Page.
Well, about 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, I stood up here and said I had a word during the offering about treasure. And when I left, I said, okay, Pastor, yeah, I've got a message. I'm going to deliver it next week. And he said, great. And I went home and I asked the Lord, I said, so what else do you want to bring on this message? He said, wait on it. I said, wait on it? I said, you gave it to me this morning, and he gave it to me in detail. And he gave it to me so quickly, I said, I'm ready to give it. He said, just sit on it. So I've been sitting on this for about 6 or 8 weeks. The word is treasure, as I said. Now, this morning is actually interesting that they brought up Abraham, because the message that I'm bringing to you is for one person. Her name is Sarah. And this word for Sarah, actually, you can all take it if you want. He says, but you're more valuable than you can imagine. God humbled himself through his son Jesus to get you back. Now, I didn't know this was for Sarah 2 months ago, because I just met Sarah last week after I had heard that, well, when I was introduced to her, she had just given her heart to the Lord. So that was on Saturday. And on Sunday, I came to church, and during the worship, the Lord said, bring your message. He said, it's for one person. So, great. Okay. And as Connie said, just enjoy it when that happens, when the Holy Spirit hits like this, because it'll lift and you'll wish it was there again. Remember telling me that, Connie? You told me that a long time ago. So Sarah, you're God's treasure. If you want to put your own name in there, please do. And if Faye were here, I'd say, who's God's favorite? And Faye would yell out, I am. Because for years I used to say, I'm God's favorite. And finally one day she said, I am too. And I said, finally, somebody got it. Somebody got it. You are God's treasure. You are his favorite. Now listen to these verses that I want to walk you through. In Psalm 135, verse 4, it says, for the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. I tell you with great confidence that the Lord has chosen you, chosen Sarah for himself as his peculiar treasure. When you read the word treasure, it actually means a jewel, or something that's been purchased. In 2 Corinthians verse 4, 6 to 7, it says, for God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts, so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We, all of us, now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay vessels containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. So the thing that you have inside of you now, Sarah, is the treasure that God implanted there, and it's going to start to bring forth life. In Matthew 13, 44 to 46, and these are the two verses that the Lord had given me when I was looking at treasure, because I sat there the one morning and Jay said, would you do the offering? I said, sure. And I got the word treasure. I said, so what do you want to say, Lord? Well, at that point, he said, brought me to the scripture and then started walking me through every other scripture that I'm going to give you today within about the next half hour. And I was like, I was turning pages just saying, what are you saying, Lord? What are you saying next? And so he gave me that message very quickly. And I thought it was just for the offering until I stood up here and I said, this is not for the offering. This is about us. This is about Sarah. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So I want to talk about these two scriptures, but I want to lay some groundwork first. In Matthew 13, 35, Jesus said, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundations of the world. And in Matthew 13, 11 to 17, Jesus replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they really don't understand." This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you won't comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear. Their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." Now, before everybody starts to feel judged because you think, "I don't get a lot of revelation in the scripture on a daily basis," he's not talking to you and I. He's talking to the people on the Sermon on the Mount, and the religious leaders were gathered around who had studied the law. And he was talking to these people. He said, "You've studied the word so much through your life." He said, "You've studied it since you were little children." He said, "But you don't understand. And you don't see me, because if you did, you would see me. So you're not seeing what it says." And to the rest of the people that were in the audience, he was speaking to them with a loving heart. He said, "But you will understand, because you will receive me. And as we receive him, the word becomes alive to us. The word opens up and we begin to understand things that they never understood before, because they listened to it from the law. They looked at it from an intellectual mind and from the law, and they did not have the Spirit of God inside of them that opened up the word to them and made it alive and real to them. And that word is alive and real to us. And God will teach us corporately, but he will also teach us individually. So when you sit with the Lord, you might get something different than what you've heard before. And God says, "But I'm speaking that to you right now, and I want you to hear it." He says, "Because this message is for you personally right now." And so for everyone that has a revelation from the word on a certain scripture that nobody else gets, just hang on to it. Because God was speaking something through that word to you that he wanted you to know specifically. Now, to us he says, "But blessed are your eyes, because you see and you hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it." We don't always understand with this, but we have perceptive hearts. This morning, some things went on in the service. Some prophetic words went out, some words of healing went out, and we may not have understood it in our knower, but you can pick it up by your spirit and say, "Lord, I want to grab a hold of that word. It doesn't make sense to me that I should be healed from this disease or whatever because the doctors have said." Well, the doctors are telling you facts, but there are also truths that you have to get a hold of, which is God is a healer and God is the deliverer and God is so, so good. He is so, so good. And how do I know that? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved." So let's go back again to Matthew 13, 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man bought, found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." So the treasure was hidden in the field. How did it get there? How did the treasure get to the field? In Genesis 3, 8, and 9, it says, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, 'Where are you?' We know from this account early on that man had hid from God. And in Genesis 3, 17, it says, 'Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Till in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground.'" We always think of that as, okay, that's when I die. But the return to the ground is really crucial. "For out of it you were taken." And when you hear the word "out of it you were taken," taken actually means to be purchased or brought forth. And so when you were found, when God found you, You were taken out. You were lifted up. You were purchased. You were bought at that time. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So taken is accepted, carried away, lifted up. Remember last week, Pastor Jay was talking about lifted up? When we're talking about abiding, God, and as Pastor Jay so wonderfully explained about the grapes laying in the ground. And so when they were laying in the ground, they get covered in mud, they get covered in dust and all kinds of things. So the vineyard owner comes along and he picks up the grapes, ties them in the vines, washes them off. That's a picture of what God's doing for every one of us. Now, can you imagine those little grapes once they get tied up? Because our saying is, what is, when we find Jesus, right? Oh, he found Jesus. He found Jesus. When did he find Jesus? Well, actually, this is the picture. So the little grapes are on the vine. They get tied up. And can you imagine the grapes on the vine looking at each other and going, I finally found the vineyard owner. I've been looking for him a long time. I found the vineyard owner. We didn't find Jesus. Jesus found us. He's been looking for you a long time. Sarah, he's been looking for you a long time. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and joy over it goes and sells all that he has and bought the field. Now, did you sell all that you have when you received Jesus? Probably not. You probably gave up some things. But there's only one person who sold all to buy a field. Jesus sold all. He gave up his position in heaven. He gave up his right to the kingdom at that moment. He said, I'll step down into earth. I'll become one of them. Can you imagine the demotion to be like us? He sold all to purchase the land. Where's my pearl one now? Well, there it is. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. If we walk through all of the parables in Matthew 13, they all start out with, there was a man who sowed seed. There was I wrote them down here. Let's see here. There was a man, and it's always God who sowed seeds. He sowed seeds, and the tares came in. God was always at work doing something in the earth. And he even refers to himself as a woman in place. He said, there was a woman who put yeast in her dough. And we recognize this is what God is doing, that God is putting something into the earth so that man can get a hold of it. But as soon as we come to the verse here about there was a field, there was a merchant. We all of a sudden put ourselves in that position. At least I did. For years I thought, I've got to go find this treasure. I've got to go out, sell everything I have and find this treasure. I've got to be a merchant. I've got to look for this pearl. I've got to be diligent. It's about my work sin. But the whole chapter in Matthew 13 is about what God's done for us, not what we're doing for him. And it changes everything. So I'm a treasure? I don't have to be a miner all the time? I can just relax in being a treasure? I can just enjoy his presence. I can just come into his presence and say, Lord, here I am. You uncovered me. I need some washing again today, Lord. Because I've been out there looking to do things for you, but I don't feel really clean right now. The Lord says, come on here. I'm going to tie you up in the vine. I'm going to wash you off, and I'm going to make you mine again. I'm going to make you feel and know that you're mine. Because right now, you're not feeling like it. And so for everybody who gets dirty in the course of their lifetime and thinks, oh man, I'm missing it and God's not there for me right now, God's still the vine dresser. He's still the one looking in the field to grab a hold of you, pick you up, clean you off, and say, there now, let the sun shine on you because you're going to bear a lot of fruit. The interesting thing is now we become his agents. We become his vine dresser. So we have the vineyard owner, but we also have the one, he says, I'm going to hire people to go work in my field. So there is a place for us, but now we go out because we've been cleaned, we've been picked up, we've been washed off, and when we see these dirty grapes, we don't say, oh, you're a dirty grape, there's no use for you. He said, no, we see some gold. He said, if I can just pick you up, if I can put you in a place that you can see God's love for you, I can clean you off, I can help clean you off, because I'm God's agent. And so we see people as gold now. We see them as these pearls of great price that the merchant originally saw, and he shows us how to clean people up. He shows us how to come alongside of them and say, I can wash you off. I have words of eternal life that are going to make you whole, that are going to change you forever. He said, because God did it for me. Because what you see as gold right now, in different ones in here, wasn't always there. It was covered up. There was stuff over it. And God started to peel it away and said, look at what's underneath. And for every one of you out there, that's the same thing God wants to do for you. And Sarah, that's what he's done for you already. He's going to clean you up. Oh, do I need cleaning up? Yeah, you do. We all did. And it's continual. Now, in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Got that one. That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you know what a peculiar people means? Actually, if you look it up, you're a purchased possession. So we're not just peculiar. We've been purchased. We were so rare that God said, I've got to find this one. I've got to uncover them. I've got to pay for this, and I'm going to pay everything I have because they were so valuable that nobody has a clue how valuable they are. Sarah, nobody has a clue how valuable you are, and you don't yet either. Jesus purchased us. A works mentality puts us in the driver's seat, actually. But where we acknowledge Jesus as the author of our faith, and sometimes we think we have to be the completer of it. But I think it says that Jesus is both the author and the perfecter of the faith. So we come to him because he drew us, and then we think we got to finish the work. No, he's going to finish the work. We can't finish the work. All we can do is submit and say, Lord, clean me up. Fix me up. Matthew 6:19-21 says, don't lay up for yourselves. Oh, this is what I would always go back to. It's like, well, I've got to do some stuff here. It says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I would say that was a scripture I looked at and say, well, I've got to go and I've got to make treasure, got to find treasure, or I've got to invest myself in treasure. There are two different things that God's talking about here. In Matthew 13, he's actually talking about what he's done for us. And in Matthew 6, he was talking about it on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, don't put all your faith in your goods. Don't put all your faith in what's around you. He said, there's a higher way to look. So they're talking about two different treasures here. We're God's treasure, but God has an assignment for us also. He says to keep looking at. And when you see, as I said earlier, when you see others around you, recognize that they're treasure. They're just waiting for God to uncover them. Amen? Now, I'm going to finish. And I truly, when I say I'm going to finish, I do. So I want to say this just to Sarah. I want to read it. Sarah, I started out saying, this is for you. God sees you as a jewel that's been washed, as gold that's been uncovered, and as his daughter who is shining in the light of his presence. He gave his life so you could get yours back. Now, I know everybody in here is saved. I mean, we've been here every week, so if you're not, we're in trouble. But on the camera, some of you may not have ever felt that God ever had his hand on you, ever looked for you. I'm telling you right now, that's as simple as saying, Lord, I need to know you. I need to feel your forgiveness. And your responsibility for that, if you're watching, is say, Lord, I need forgiveness. I know I've messed up. I know I've sinned. My life is not going where it should. But Lord, I want your forgiveness. I want to commit my life to you. I want to know that you've received me and accepted me, and I want to follow you. So if that's you, you just have to say that. Say it to the camera. Say it to the person sitting next to you in the room. Shout it out in the room if you have to. Lord, I need you. That'll work too. But God wants to uncover who you really are and not with the mess that you've gotten into. He said, I want to wash all that away from you. And if you've prayed that, he begins washing right away. He receives you into his kingdom. And he says, son, daughter, come home. You're mine and I'll watch out for you. And then I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, you can get them online, you can for free, you can buy one. Just get one and begin to read. Read John. John really loved Jesus. If you read John, you'll get a good picture of who Jesus is. And so with that, I bless you. You are agents of the kingdom. I deputize you to go out and wash as many people as you can with the word. Let them know how much Jesus loves them. And we will watch this kingdom grow. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.